If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. That's our text this morning. But while you're turning there, let me share a little thought with you. Have you ever thought that for a three-hour football game, a sports lover will be on time? He will only miss the opening kickoff if it is totally unavoidable. And he will sit in his favorite pew. He won't get up to eat. He will sit in front of the game for 3 hours and not complain that the game is going too long. The sports lover will not budge because he has a high regard for his team that is on the field. And if by chance the game goes into overtime, he will not even bother to look at his watch. He will be so engaged with the team that's out on the field. Many times football games get more respect, more time, and more consideration and intensity than a visit to God's house on Sunday morning. I ran across that and I thought you'd enjoy hearing it. Starting with verse 6, it said, "And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an occasion against him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man which had the withered hand, 'Rise up, stand forth in the midst.' And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, 'I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?' And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, 'Stretch forth thy hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the others. And they were filled with madness and consumed one with another, or communed one with another, what they might do to Christ." This morning, not everybody that shows up at church, and we're going to talk about when you go to church this morning. That's something we do on Sundays. You know, we go to church. And not everyone that goes to church on Sunday comes for the same reason. We all know that when Jesus comes to church, he comes to condemn those that are here for the wrong reason. And he comes to commend those that are here for the right reason. The presence of Jesus means both conflict and healing. And we know at this particular time that Jesus was going through a lot of conflict. Now, we sometimes think that because he is Lord, that he didn't have these kind of problems. But I'm here to tell you that he had far more than we ever had. And so he was in the midst of conflict and difficulty with the religious establishment, the ones that you would have thought would have been on his team, that would have been working hand in hand with him to accomplish his goals, being Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But that was not the case. You see, they were much more concerned with religious establishment, institutions, if you will, and they cared more about the institution and the customs than they did about individual people. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is where the rub came in, is more concerned about people than he is about the buildings and the establishment. So when people come to church this morning, are they aware of their personal disabilities? Now, some come to church with an acute awareness of the fact that they have some problems, they have some disabilities, and they need some help. Well, this man that had a withered hand, the Bible tells us that he was not always that way. It was not a congenital disease, but it's something that he washed that hand through some disease, began to wither and shrink and pull away to where he was totally disabled, and it ruined his life. This man stands for all of us this morning who are here withered in ourselves. And I hope all of us this morning, as we stop and take a look on the inside, and sometimes we need to look at the mirror and see ourselves as we really are, that maybe we have some faults and some disabilities that the Lord wants to deal with, but we've got to recognize them. We've got to give consideration to the fact that we have some difficulties in ourselves. Now, when we come to church, sometimes people are passive. This man was. You remember this man when he was there, he just sat there. He didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. He didn't move about to do anything to help his needs. He just sat there and he waited. And that's where a lot of folks are today. They're just passive. They're waiting. Now, I've heard folks talk about, you know, when I get saved, I'm expecting that, you know, there's going to be some great feeling in my life, and I'm going to be kind of hit with a bolt of lightning, and I'll know when it's time for me to go down to the altar and get right with God. I'm telling you, that probably very seldom ever happens. You know, folks have to realize through the foolishness of preaching, I'm lost. I'm on the road to a devil's hell if I don't repent of my sin. It's a step of faith this morning that the Lord wants all of us to take. And if you haven't taken that step of faith this morning, that's the only way you're going to get to heaven. You must be born again. Some are here today and they're paralyzed to speak or act in the spiritual realm. They want help. They need help. They know they need help. But they're waiting for somebody to show them the way. They're not looking for a hand out, but a hand up. Somebody to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you this morning that this old world is passing away. Time is slipping away from us. And if we're ever going to get right with God, if we're ever going to serve Him, if we're ever going to make a difference in this world, if we're ever going to let the Lord use us to our greatest capacity, it needs to be now. Well, some come to church in expectancy. Now, he must have held some vague notion in his life that if I just go to church, there'll be some help there for me. Now, I want to tell you this morning, there ought to be help when we come to church. I remember when I got saved, I went because I had a friend that invited me, a young man that I was friends with for a number of years as we went to school together. His name was Bill. He invited me to come to church. Well, you know, he was my friend, so I went to church with him. But you know, that's what friends do. Friends invite friends to church and to Christ. And if we don't do it, who's going to do it? You see, sometimes we think that just coming to church is all that we are required to do. But I'm here to remind you this morning that we're to look out on the fields and see that they're white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. And if we're ever going to make a difference, we need to do it now because time is getting away from us. We come to church and we expect mercy. And I think about a church And I read this, that church is like a hospital. It's where people who are sick, who are broken, who are bruised, beaten, and battered with life, they come because of sin and unrighteousness. And they're coming for help. And it's okay if you're here this morning and you don't have all your life together. It's all right. Because a church is a place you need to be to get your life together. So it's all right to come to the house of God and say, "Preacher, I'm lost and I'm on the road to a devil's hell." That's fine. We want to help you to get off of that road and get on the right road that leads towards heaven. If you had all your life together, you probably wouldn't need to be here this morning. However, hospitals do not tolerate people hanging around who don't want to get better. No doctor is going to keep on fooling with a patient who won't take his medicine or won't take the shot when it's prescribed. But they still want to occupy a room. What would you think this morning if someone said, "Now, look, I know I'm sick. I've decided to stay sick because I like this hospital. In fact, I'm going to put my name on the door. And I'm going to stay here for a while." You would condemn such a person for the misuse of the hospital, because a hospital is there to help to have life. And that's really what a church is. We're here this morning to help everybody to have life, spiritual life, making heaven your home, shunning that place called hell, and going to that place that God has especially prepared for those that love Him. This man did receive mercy. God gave him back his wholeness. He told him, "Stand forth." And when he stood up, then the Lord said, "Stretch out that withered hand." And when he did, it was whole. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to tell you, God performs a lot of miracles right here. When you see a hard-hearted sinner come and bow his wicked heart at an altar and ask for the mercy of God on his life, and God changes him, gives him a new heart and a new nature, and he gets up a new creature in Christ Jesus, and he walks out of here, he doesn't talk like he used to talk. He doesn't act that way anymore. He's a child of God. You know, the reason why you're saved is because God in mercy reached down to you, pulled you up out of sin. That's the reason you're saved. That's the reason all of us are saved. We don't deserve it. But oh, thank God that He loves us enough that He's willing to take and forgive us of all of our sins and shortcomings and trespasses and say, "I forgive you. Go and sin no more. Go and live for me." Some come to church projecting personal superiority. Some come to church only with the thought that maybe they're superior to others' presence, and that's what the Pharisees felt. You see, they were individuals that they felt like they were in charge of guarding the church. To see that everything was done right, that every T was crossed, every I was dotted, that they were in charge to make sure they were to guard the gates. And they forgot about people. Isn't it awful to think that the church, the building, the customs, the tradition is more important than a person and their soul? You know, why do we always talk about numbers and trying to reach more people number-wise? Why do we want to build the congregation? Because every number represents a soul. A soul that's going to heaven or to hell. And it's our job to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility to help them to come to know the Lord. There is a danger that we may come to church with the wrong motives. Come more for the institution. Now, I'm glad all of you are here this morning. I'm just thrilled to death that you're here. And I'd be aggravated if you wasn't here. Well, why are you here? It's because you love God and love His people. And you want to see more folks saved and brought into the kingdom of God? Or is it just tradition? It's a custom. My folks raised me to go to church. Well, that's great. But did you get what church had to offer? Did you get the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? You see, that's the critical question. Wrong motives lead to wrong methods. They came to make observation, and the Bible said that they watched him closely. How do you think it'd be today if Jesus came to church? How do you think it'd be if Jesus came in our day and time? Now, they crucified him over 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. What would they do to him today? I'm here to tell you they'd do far worse today than they did back then. Our world is more wicked, more sinful, more alienated from God and spiritual matters than it's ever been before. And it's not going to get any better. The Bible said things will wax worse and worse. They came to church to see that everything was done right. They were the way we always do it around here, committee. Well, they forgot all about the healing of people, the withered hands. I'm here to tell you that there are a lot of withered hands in this world. There may be some withered hands here this morning in this church. Individuals that need the Lord more than anything else. Where do you think they ought to go to get help? Right here. Right here. You see, I'm convinced this morning that we've got what the world needs. But we've got to share it. It's not just something that we keep ourselves. It's something we share. God didn't give it to us in order for us to hoard it. He wants us to share it. Let others know about him and be able to be saved and be brought into the kingdom of God. God help us. How little sometimes can we do around here instead of how much can we do around here? You see, it's more than just painting the walls, hanging the doors. It's more than just mowing the yard and trimming the hedges. They need to be trimmed. It's more than that, isn't it? It's people. It's you and me. It's our responsibility to tell them. And if we tell them, then their blood will not be required at our hands if they say no. But we have the responsibility to tell them about Jesus Christ. The greatest sin that we can ever commit is to keep the grace of God from meeting human needs. God wants to minister to folks today, but he does it through us. Are you a willing laborer, a willing servant, willing to do what God has called you to do? Jesus comes to church to confront us. You know, people sometimes think, what if Jesus came to our church? He does. Every time we meet together, he's here. And sometimes we forget that this is God's house, and where two or three are gathered together in his name, he said, I'll be in your midst. So I'm here to tell you this morning that he is here. We feel his presence. We talk about it. But I'm telling you, he's here. How does he feel? A lot of times he's not wanted. That's the truth in church. The Pharisees didn't want him. And there are folks today in the church that don't want Jesus. They can do disgustingly well what they do without the Holy Spirit to lead them. How sad. How sad. Folks are dying and going to hell every day. You know, I tell you this, and I remind you, I look at the front page, I look at the sports page, and right behind the sports page is the obituary page. I've got it memorized. And folks are dying. And I'm telling you what, you know, I look in there and I see that most of them are younger than me. And I'm kind of like the guy that said, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I'd took better care of myself. But you know, we have the responsibility to not only make heaven our home ourselves, but to help as many as we can along the way. Help as many as we can. You know, read about this fella. He went to the donut shop. I'm not pointing to you for anything else, but he went to the donut shop and he got 5 donuts and a Diet Coke. And I know he thought that Diet Coke is going to neutralize all of those sugar-coated, fat-filled, greasy donuts, that it's going to neutralize it. I'm here to tell you the only thing that'll change a person's life is not just coming to church, but when you come to church, it's a spiritual hospital that says you must be born again. And the Lord will do surgery right here. I want to tell you, he'll do for you what nobody else can do. He'll reach in and he'll pull out that old wicked heart. And he'll put in a new heart. Then he says, I take and blot out your name in the books. And I'm going to write it down in the Lamb's book of life. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And he challenges us with the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be full. Full. You see, we have that responsibility. Are you ready to meet the Lord this morning? Listen, we're just passing through. And we may be closer to the other side than the beginning side. And I can tell you most of us are. We're close. Soon and very soon, he's coming back. And I've always felt like when the Lord comes and raptures us out, that I'm going to be here. Now, I don't know. The Lord didn't tell me anything. But I believe that. And I get up every day thinking, Lord, even so, come quickly. If you're going to come before I kick out, you need to put it on the docket, you know. Even so, come quickly. Will you bow with me for prayer?